Welcome to Travels with Jim and Rita. I'm your host, Jim Santos, and in this podcast series, you can follow along as my wife Rita and I work out our crazy plan to outfox the real estate market in the U.S. and actually increase our retirement nest egg by spending the next 3 years or so living abroad and exploring the world. Are we bold, forward-thinking pioneers, or just plain nuts? Let's find out together, shall we? Hello once again to everyone out there in podcast land. I'm Jim Santos, and this is Travels with Jim and Rita. Now, in real time, as I record this intro, it's the end of March, and we're very busy preparing to empty out our home and get ready for closing in just a few short weeks. In fact, we're meeting shortly with the movers, as our days of hauling furniture and boxes are blissfully behind us. In this episode, we'll be looking at some financial matters. This is a subject that Emily and a few others have emailed me about recently, so we'll go into some details. As you'll recall if you're a regular listener, and if you aren't, don't you think you should be? Since this is a great time to sell but a lousy time to buy, we're going to skip the buying part for now and travel instead. Since Rita and I are both over 65, we're not too interested in long-range planning or speculative investment options. We're looking more for HYSAs, high-yield savings account. We've already opened 1 2-year account with our credit union that locked in a 5.38% rate, with an option to bump it up once if rates happen to increase during its term. We also have 2 HYSAs with American Express. Now, these are variable rates, meaning they can go up or down with the market, but it's been pretty steady for the last few months at 4.35%, which is not too shabby. A big advantage of those accounts is that it's easy to transfer money in and out without fees or penalties. Now, another option we've been considering, especially in these troubled times, is banking some of the proceeds in a foreign currency in another country. Uruguay is particularly interesting, since their secure banking system has earned them the nickname the Switzerland of South America. When we visited Uruguay a few years ago, we spoke with some attorneys, and I looked into it online a bit more recently. What caught my eye were some accounts paying as much as 8 or 9% interest, where funds could be deposited as either euros or Uruguayan pesos. So to look into this more closely, last month, while we were still in Panama, we arranged an interview with Dr. Mark Tootin of Tootin Abogados. Although Mark deals primarily with helping expats with immigration paperwork, property purchases, and opening bank accounts, he agreed to share his knowledge with us. Let's go to that interview now, and afterwards we'll take a look at another fairly safe investment option that we also considered. Mark, I guess you understand the basic situation that we're looking at here. My wife and I are selling our home in the U.S. right now, and we're going to be basically traveling the next 2 or 3 years. So we're interested in banking some of that cash in a foreign bank, preferably in a foreign currency. And we've been to Uruguay before. We know the banks have a very solid reputation there. That's the kind of thing that we're looking at now. We're wondering what kind of assistance your firm provides for setting up these accounts, and can it be done remotely, or do we need to wait till we can get out there?
Okay. The answer to that question, Jim, is that we normally provide, I mean, part of our residence package, which is for people who are coming to Uruguay to apply for residence,
right,
includes assistance in opening a bank account, because you've got to show that you've got an income in Uruguay in order to be able to get residence. We have experience in opening accounts. It's normally part of that. Your situation is, I understand, is different. You just want to open an account without applying for residence.
Right.
You can, that is possible. You can open a bank account in Uruguay as non-resident. What nationality are you?
United States.
Because of FACTA, which I assume you're familiar with,
they'll
ask you, there's a whole load of forms that you have to fill in to open the account, and that, you know, there's the usual compliance, know your client sort of information,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to fill in a couple of US tax forms. I'm not sure, Ben 8 or whatever
okay.
it is, you know.
Okay.
But you can open an account here as non-residents. It cannot be done remotely. To open an account, you need to do that. Be physically in Uruguay and go to the bank yourselves.
And once you do have the account, though, it can be accessed over the internet.
Yes. So all the banks here offer online banking, specifically mentioned the Banco de la República. I'm not familiar with their online system, but I assume it worked reasonably well. And, you know, my experience of the internet banking in Uruguay is that it's very good,
Very good.
and you know, you can do pretty much everything online. For example, I mean, I've got one of these, I can't even remember, a dongle or whatever it's called. I mean, I can transfer up to $50,000 a day to anywhere in the world.
And I assume these accounts can be in dollars or Uruguay currency or euros.
Yes, the norm in Uruguay is that everybody has a dollar account and a peso account, and we just use the peso account for our daily monthly expenditure, and you keep your money in dollars basically, and then go along changing it into pesos as you need it. That's the historical norm, because Uruguayans have never trusted very much in their own currency.
Yeah, now we're not trusting much in US currency, so it's an interesting
Yeah,
turnaround.
yes, you indicated
That
that at the beginning. From what you're saying, you're positively interested in having a peso denominated account. Obviously, the Uruguayan peso in the last couple of years has gone up against the dollar, and you know, and inflation in dollars is coming down. So if you'd kept your money in pesos, you'd have done okay. I should clarify as well, for the record, I'm a lawyer, not a financial advisor. So I know most of this stuff from having lived here for a long time, but I don't claim to be a financial advisor. I am a lawyer, so.
Sure, I understand that.
Right.
That you mentioned
Okay.
the FACTA procedure we'd have to go through as foreign nationals and American citizens. I saw an article that said that some banks were charging extra fees for foreign nationals because of that.
That's certainly not my knowledge. My experience with the Itaú and Santander is that they don't charge. So I don't know if others do. I do. I mean, there are banks who don't charge, is the answer to that.
Okay. Do these accounts have, in the US, we have the FDIC protection. Is there any kind of insurance or protection on accounts with, say, $200,000 in them?
Yeah, there is protection up to
To
$50,000.
50,000. Okay. What kind of interest can you earn on savings accounts in Uruguay?
I certainly don't get anything on mine. So you said that you've seen something online with the Banco de la República. I think you're offering 7 or 8%, you said, or was it nine in?
Up to 9% if.
Yeah, that but you, and you're clear, but you are clear already that that's in Uruguayan pesos, not in dollars.
Correct, but that's what we're
Yes.
interested in anyway, so.
The banks do have specific products which they call like certificates of deposit, and I
Right.
imagine that the brew is that's what it's offering. So it's a bank guaranteed thing. They don't give you interest on money just sitting around in your account. I think if you had 2,000 in a normal, what they would call a savings account, which here is called a caja de ahorro, you'd probably get 0.1% or something. And in pesos, I don't know, 2% or something. So, you know, very, very low. And another thing as well for you to be aware of, bank charges in general are very high in Uruguay. But yeah, they do offer these certificates of deposit, and that you can get quite a reasonable rate of return either in dollars or pesos. I think in dollars they'll give you like 4 or 5 full percent, maybe something like that. And from what I've never looked in pesos myself, but if you've seen nine, that sounds about right.
Are there any tax liabilities in Uruguay if you're earning interest on accounts there?
Yes, basically 12%.
12%
Yeah.
of the interest earned.
Interest.
Of the interest, yeah.
Are there any fees for taking funds out of Uruguay?
No.
No fees for that?
No,
Okay.
we have no exchange controls at all in Uruguay. And I mean, going, I mean, just for the record, and as you're recording it, I mean, just information. Uruguay's never had, well, certainly in the last 35 years, no exchange controls. And there was a problem in 2001 with some banks defaulting. Big private banks didn't have any problems and carried on.
If we were to come to Uruguay and want to set up something with one of these banks, what kind of
Yeah.
information would we need to bring with us to be able to do this?
basically what they will look for is bank reference letter from, if you're from the States, from a US bank. A bank reference letter means a letter on headed note paper, preferably signed by a physical person, saying, this is to confirm that Jim and Rita Santos have an account with our bank, which is in good standing, and they've had the account for X number of years.
Right.
That's a bank reference letter. Then you need to show proof of address abroad, which they like to see a recent utility bill. So if you want a joint account, it will be one bill, a bill in each of your names. That's what they like to see. And then the third thing is they want to see proof of income in general. What they like to see is your last year's tax return. In terms of documents, that's what the documents are. They'll ask you why you want to open the account. And you should probably say something along the lines of, you know, we're going to come here to live. And so we're going to be applying for residence. So we need a bank account. You sort of need to understand that in general, you know, that the whole anti-money laundering thing and American clients, right, in general, because of factor and stuff. So the bank with American citizens, they don't want to have problems. I mean, you know,
right,
I've got a number of Russian clients, and obviously with Russian clients as well, they, you know, they're really, really wary. So they don't want to have problems. And so, you know, just to make things easier, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, well, we would definitely have a paper trail of where the money came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that should not be an issue.
Yeah, it's from the sale of a home, not from anything shady. So,
I mean, I think to be honest, I mean, again, this is just a sort of feeling sensation thing. I mean, I think if you two Americans turn up at the Banco de la Republica, which is a publicly owned bank, no, and you say, "Oh, look, we've got 200,000, and we'd like to put it in an account here," that would just look very strange. And obviously the bank's got discretion, which clients they're going to accept. I don't think they're going to go out. This is the thing, whereas if it's 200 million, they'll probably say, oh, great, yeah, thanks.
Right.
No problem.
Right, right.
For 200, right, they'll probably, oh, it's not worth a hassle of looking into all of this. So, you know, but if you say, well, no, we need the account because we're, you know, we're looking at Uruguay to come to live, blah, 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 that will probably keep them happy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
How long would this take normally to open up a bank account? Is this a couple of days, or is there a waiting period when you first set it up?
My experience with the private banks with whom I work is that it can be less, but you've got to work on the basis that it'll probably be between 2 weeks and a month for them to do all the compliance. It's certainly not overnight, and it's certainly not 2 days, because you fill in the forms in the bank and then it goes to their compliance department and they look at it all.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we're thinking of spending a month or two in Montevideo anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to be, I mean, again, you don't need to be here that whole month. You know, you can just be here a couple of days and go in and fill in the forms and then wait for them to confirm
contact
that the account is opened, and then you can access it over the internet, mm-hmm, you know, so.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, we enjoyed our time in Uruguay, so that's no, you know, that's not
no
a downside
hardship,
having to stay in Montevideo for.
Yeah, no, but great. I'm just trying to clarify. Yeah, but you wouldn't 100% need to stay around just for that.
Yeah. Okay. And I know it's not really your field or anything, but are there any other like 2 to 3 year investment opportunities in Uruguay that you have heard of or you think we should consider?
There's Uruguayan government bonds, which, again, historically, Uruguay hasn't defaulted on its bonds. Even in 2001, we didn't default. The advantage of them is that interest on that is tax-free.
Well, that's
interesting. That might be of interest. They're not AAA. I think they're BB plus or something. You know, they're in this. So they're investment grade. I think they give around 5%. But tax-free. And what else? Well, the other thing was for your information. I mean, there are other banks who, in addition to the Banco de la Republica, who also offer similar products and services. All the banks will require you to go in person, though, to open an account. There are other brokers who will open an account for you where you can do DigiSign, I think it is. You know, you can sign virtually, and they you can open. So you could open an account with one of those. There's several respectable firms around, you know, who've been in operation for many, many years. They offer, as I understand it, financial products from around the world. So they can offer you Uruguayan products or, you know, from anywhere else. From what you're saying, you're not interested in US treasuries or anything like that. You want to get away from that. But there are, so, but there are, you know, there's several brokerage firms.
Yeah, basically, we're looking at diversifying. You know, we wanted to split our money up in a couple of different currencies in a couple of different ways. Yeah.
From what you said, I mean, you are thinking of coming here. So, you know, it wouldn't be it's not a problem for you to have to come in physically to go and open an account.
It might be nice to talk to the other brokerages as well, Jim, to see what other, you know, because it doesn't have to be just 200. We need to know what type of products they have, and that we could further diversify.
I can send you one or two names afterwards if you want.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, if you knew anyone who specializes in investments, interest-bearing accounts, the government bond certainly is something we should look into a little further as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. But of course, when you sell them, they don't sell unless there's somebody there who is willing to buy them. So that's, you know, we'd have to keep track of multiple economies.
But certainly Uruguayan government bonds are pretty liquid here.
That's good.
I don't think that's a problem at all. There's a bit of that's been the situation for the last 20 odd years. You know, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. So
for any country, really.
Yeah, exactly. But in principle, government bond, Uruguayan government bonds are pretty safe and pretty liquid.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this. I know, again, it's not exactly your field. You kind of work with people more applying for a residency. But I do appreciate the information. A lot of good things for us to look at here.
Okay, cool. I hope it's been helpful.
So as you probably picked up from that conversation, we found that while there are some excellent banking opportunities in Uruguay, we would have trouble making it work for our particular needs. The main stumbling block seems to be that we would have to show proof of residency in some country, providing things like utility bills or a lease, and we will not be able to do that as we'll be doing the slow travel routine. But if you're looking to move to Uruguay, or you're a foreign resident with a fixed address, there are some intriguing possibilities for you in that laid-back and lovely country. Now lastly, a few words about that other investment option we had on the table. If, like us, you own your home outright and have no mortgage or liens, you can consider offering your home for sale with owner financing. This is a situation where basically you are the bank, and you set the interest rate that the buyer will pay and the terms of the mortgage. Check with an attorney, of course, because I'm definitely no financial expert, but most states will allow you to do this if it is your home and the only mortgage you will hold. In other words, it can't be a side business. Now, the upside of this is that you're getting a monthly check and, depending on the market, earning a decent amount of interest. For example, when I did this selling my home in West Virginia about 14 years ago, I was able to get 6.25% on a $210,000 loan. This was at a time when bank interest rates were running around 4%. This got me a monthly check of $1,293.01. The buyer made a cash payment on it at one point, but still, when he eventually sold the house after 80 months, the payoff on the loan was still just over $68,500. If you do the math, counting the down payment of $15,000, the payment of $90,000 he made at year 5 after receiving an inheritance, and the 80 months' worth of mortgage checks, I collected almost $277,000 on the deal. Now, there are some downsides. I was able to get a higher interest rate than the banks were offering at the time because I was willing to take a risk on someone who may not qualify with the bank. I had arranged a quitclaim deed to protect myself. That's where a title automatically reverted to me if the buyer fell 3 payments behind. Now, naturally, such a buyer may not be able to put much money down, so you don't get as much money up front. Also, you need to take care of the paperwork, which includes figuring an escrow amount to add to the mortgage payment each month. It's prudent to pay the home insurance, HOA fees, and property taxes out of that account so you know the property is protected. And managing that is some extra work. We did visit a local attorney here in Knoxville back in December when we first started on this mad path of ours, just to make sure there were no legal issues and that they could handle the closing paperwork, title transfers, and etc. for us. So while we were prepared to go that way if needed, it was still a bit of a relief to find a more conventional buyer, so we do not have the extra paperwork and details to deal with. Still, if you're in a position to do so, it's definitely an option worth considering. Well, that's it for this week's show. Keep listening, keep spreading the word on social media, as we are now in 26 countries and counting. If you can, please take a moment to leave a rating and a review, and of course, subscriptions are always welcome. If you have any questions or would like to tell us your own story, email me at jim@jimsantosbooks.com. And remember, you can find my books, short stories, and audiobooks on my Amazon author page simply by going to jimsantos.net. Until next time, safe journeys to you all, and don't forget, we travel not to escape life, but so that life does not escape us.